Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 25th of July, recording at 9:32 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, well, what are we going to call it? I think it has to be the Facebook Day, because the U.S. share certainly surged enormously following surprisingly strong earnings. Largely due to success in their mobile phone advertising. The share jumped $8 to nearly $35 before the close. Suggests there's a lot of short covering in that. But also, for those of you who like social media sites, it also suggests that the management knows what it's doing. And that really helped to turn around, it was instrumental in turning around what had been a nervous performance pre-market and in the early trading for Wall Street, because the Dow had been down quite substantially at one stage. Pre-market this is, though, but the Dow was down about $90, managed to close up 13, but that's a good turnaround here overall. And the NASDAQ was up 25 with the help of the Facebook news overall. Now, that tended to reduce losses in Europe, but Wall Street was still on the minus side when Europe closed. So it just pared the losses slightly, although not every market declined in Europe today. The Spanish IBEX was up just over nearly 1.1%, and we had a small gain. The Sweden OMX was up a fifth of a percent. The others declined. In Asia, just about everything was down, although the Australian stock market had a paper-thin modest gain overall. Now, what do we make of it all? I think for the most part, stock markets are a little overbought. Owen and I have been saying that it's a tricky period in here right now for a number of reasons, really, but the main one is the extent of the rally that we've actually seen. If you go back to last November, it's been absolutely enormous overall. It's pushed valuations up quite a bit. And despite the good news on earnings from Facebook, they're decidedly mixed for U.S. shares, but the marketing machine on Wall Street and on the financial news channels, which is very polished and slick and experienced, can dress up some indifferent results pretty well. For instance, yesterday there was a lot of talk about how well General Motors was doing, and or at least until an analyst came on and said, well, yes, but their earnings for the quarter that they had just reported were 20% below the previous quarter. Now, that doesn't apply to every share, and obviously not Facebook, but it does apply to a fair number of the shares overall. But what happens is you get a conservative, the policy is you get a conservative earnings estimate for the next reporting period, and then the company tries to come in with slightly better results overall, and it looks like a success. But earnings, the overall picture, level it all out or balance it all out, and earnings are growing more slowly, and there are concerns over the third and fourth quarter of this year, whereas 6 to 9 months ago, and people were somewhat more optimistic about what earnings would be doing in the second half of this year. Now, in the big picture, you know, we're only little over 5.5 years, really since the credit crisis bottom for the stock market. And normally it takes at least 5 to 7 years to recover from these crises, credit crises. And as I mentioned on a number of occasions, that's not my statistic, but one well researched by academics. And I think we will see a continuation of a slow growth economy in here, slow growth global economy here overall. But it's far from a disaster. And again, the most important factor here, most important influence for stock markets, is this just tidal wave of money that keeps flowing in from the central banks. Bernanke's QE gets most of the publicity on this, but there's a massive stimulus in Japan. There's a massive stimulus of a somewhat different nature actually occurring in Europe, and a lot of individual countries outside those regions are doing plenty to keep the liquidity flowing, largely because it's not always being taken up. Companies are a little bit conservative, and banks are as well. But we still have these extremely low interest rates, and as I say, all this liquidity flowing, and that's always been a big tailwind for stock markets overall. But expect choppy action. I wouldn't want to pay up for anything on Wall Street, and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the market struggle a bit to hold these levels here overall, despite the quantitative easing. And if I'm too cautious, it's just because momentum buying can push markets further, and that's a possibility here. But the medium-term outlook, I think we're too expensive at these levels. So I expect some choppy ranging, as I've said on a number of occasions. Okay, what else is going on here? Government bonds. Well, those U.S. yields pushed higher this morning as the stock market was coming off, and then gave up those gains, and mostly had some small losses here overall. As far as the U.S. Treasuries are concerned, and many of the other developed country markets, particularly the developed country markets where the long-dated government yields have risen quite sharply, at least since May, they would need to take out the little or the recent reaction lows that they've seen during a consolidation to indicate a further pullback. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that happen, but I also know that when the big trend has changed, the surprises are in the opposite direction. So the big trend, of course, was about 30 years or more for falling government bond yields in a number of countries, and therefore we're now in a bear market. We will see plenty of ranging overall, but interest rates are going to be moving higher over the medium and, in many instances, longer term, as in for a number of years. U.S. dollar was weaker in here today as Wall Street improved, fell quite sharply actually. The dollar index is at 81.73. It had been firmer in the pre-market action overall. And what about some of the developments here? The yen strengthened somewhat against the U.S. dollar. It's at 99.22 yen to the dollar. And let's see if I can spot a couple of these. The euro is at 132.80, 1.3280. And sterling, GDP, where are you? 153. 91. So really quite a soft day in here for the US dollar, although as we've seen recently, some of the emerging market currencies remain under pressure, not least the Indonesian rupee. Okay. What else to comment on here? Gold. This is a Bravura performance here. It had that small downside key day reversal yesterday, which was certainly a warning that we were getting some two-way action. I tend not to pay a great deal of attention to those small keys unless they get some follow-through. And gold actually closed up here on the day. It's currently at 1334 and change. And therefore, at this stage, it is overbought in the short term, but again, the technical action is impressive, and it has had such a big move to the downside over the last couple of years. So I'm of half a mind that we have seen the bottom, or actually very, very close to it. It will be interesting to see what actually happens here, because we're back not too far from some initial potential resistance areas. Overall, something I've said before and emphasize is that gold has come back far enough, so I don't expect any straight line move back up to the upside. I suspect we'll see we're more likely to see a support building process, but that may have actually, I think there's a good possibility that that's actually commenced. Okay, crude oil. Let me just check the commodity page a little more, the broader commodity page. I think it was a bit mixed in here today. Let's see, it swung around a bit. The WTI, though, is currently at 105.60, and the Brent at 107.64. Those are off the recent highs. I think there's a reasonable chance that we'll get a further pullback, particularly in the WTI. But I won't be relaxed about it until that's back below the $100 level, and I'd like to see the same from the Brent. But the pressure on oil prices is over for at least the short term. Industrial metals had been doing reasonably well this week, but I've got a down day in here today, although copper is an exception. Quietly steady here, just below 319 in the States. The grain and bean sector is very soft. Big downside move on palm oil prices here today. Also, the soybeans have been hit hard. Wheat and corn down modestly. But the big story on that, as far as the palm oil is concerned, there has, of course, been a huge amount of additional planting, clearing of forests to increase crops overall. So there's certainly no shortage of palm oil. And then on the grains, in the United States, which is such an important crop region, the fear in recent years, or the reality in recent years, has more often than not been a drought out in the far southwestern regions of the country, around Texas. But that has not been the case this year. There's been plenty of moisture, and the prospect of a heat wave has disappeared for at least the short term. And we are seeing cooler weather there overall, which is an ideal environment, really. But as I've said before, that needs to continue with sufficient moisture and sufficiently mild temperatures for a late harvest this year, because we had late plantings this year. But really, the way it's shaping up right now, it does look like we are going to have, I cross my fingers when I say this, but bumper yields here, and that would help to keep food price inflation low. Commodities overall, we had a decent rally in the CCI. That's a continuous commodity index, which we like to show. That's CCI on the library, if you're interested in checking it from time to time. We'd had the second bounce from the 500 level, and it was not a bad rally, but it has lost upside momentum and currently retreating at the moment. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.